You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Father God, would you make your Son present to us by the power of your Spirit? Amen. I've been thinking about the American way lately, this idea that anyone can make the life they want for themselves. The girl next door can become a superstar. The guy who sells computers out of his garage can create the biggest, one of the most influential companies in the world. I cried yesterday watching Coco Gauff, a 19-year-old, win the U.S. Open. And I wondered if I cried because that's the way the story is supposed to work out. The young girl is supposed to overcome all odds and win. But with that idea often comes a burden to make something amazing, to make a record-breaking life for ourselves. And what are we often told to rely on to achieve it? Ourselves. Or even if achieving stardom or this version of the American dream isn't your goal, we all live with an awareness of the possibility of calamity. What do you look to for protection from calamity or crisis? Even the youngest among us aim to make as much money as possible, to earn happiness and status and safety. From a young age, we're conditioned to get into the best school, to earn the best connections, build the best resume, to achieve security, and ultimately protect ourselves from harm. Even personal habits like good nutrition can be a way of saving ourselves from illness or, heaven forbid, aging. But are you tempted, like me, to put all your trust for protection in yourself, in your own abilities? It's lucrative to a point. But our Exodus 12 passage today illustrates the way God offers to help people by inviting us to trust in the blood of another. You can turn there on page 5 and 6, Exodus 12. What a vulnerable thing it is to trust in another, especially when every other voice I hear encourages me to help myself, that I can save myself. But here in Exodus, we find God laying the foundational pattern of salvation by faith with his people when they're still in bondage in Egypt. This is way back in the history of Israel, and it's the same pattern we see God carry out throughout Scripture. The salvific event of the Old Testament involves trusting God to be faithful to his word, to see the sign of the blood of a lamb on the doorpost, and spare the people inside. The first 11 verses of this passage are God's specific instructions to the people for how they are to keep this inaugural Passover feast as they wait for God's deliverance from Egypt. Remember the scene. God's covenant people have been in bondage in Egypt for generations. And as Adam Cannon Young said a couple weeks ago, Egypt is the narrow place. This is where they were stuck. You know where you're stuck. The government is doubling down on Israel's oppression, although God has promised he will deliver them. And what does God tell them to do to accept his deliverance when he says, I'm going to deliver you? Get a better political strategy. Study more. Get better connections. Diet. Invest more. Work harder. No. I feel the familiarity of those instructions, but that's not working for me. I don't know about you. Now look at this passage and notice how often the lamb is repeated. Over and over when God says, this is how I'm going to deliver you, the focus is the lamb. God instructs his people to deal with this lamb in a particular way, and they're invited to trust that God will keep God's word when he looks upon the blood of that lamb and faithfully spare them from the coming calamity. This event totally rests on God keeping God's word. Look at verses 12 and 13. That's where the focus is of this text. God says, this is what I'm going to do, for I am the Lord. He says, I'm going to bring this final plague. It wasn't going to be a pretty one. God was serious about freeing his people from Egypt's oppression, and it was about to get even worse than it had been this whole time. Then God said, I'm going to execute judgment on the gods of Egypt. Through this event, God was going to show his power above all other gods. The most powerful people and spiritual forces, both in Egypt and in your world and in my world, have to fall before God in submission. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is God's promise. This all rests on God's promise to look upon the blood of another and save the people who ask for help in this way. In the face of impending calamity, how likely is it that the frailty of a slain lamb would bring salvation? This is very vulnerable, and that's what I keep coming back to with this text. It is so vulnerable to trust another, even to say, I need help. What is the calamity passing through your world? What are you tempted to put faith in for protection? And how is that going to work out? Are you capable of delivering yourself? Or is it time to ask for help? To ask for help from the one who knows you and gave his life to rescue you from death? God promised then and promises now to look upon the blood of another and save the people who reach out in their honest need and ask for help, for salvation, for release from the burden of saving ourselves. Like this first Passover in Exodus, the story of Jesus is bloody. That's uncomfortable. It's not only vulnerable to trust in another, but the way of Jesus is particularly weak. It involves a lot of death. Not only did Jesus leave his seat in heaven, but he took on the very nature of a human, his creation, and a poor one at that. He was born in a stable, and after living for a while, unjustly died a criminal's death. Yet from Christ's death comes resurrection. And that's what he offers to all who trust in his death for their righteousness also. This is about trusting in Christ's blood to save us from calamity. From the calamity of having to save ourselves, heal ourselves, protect ourselves and our loved ones by our performance. Christ offers another way, and it is his delight to save you from the burden of saving yourself. As the video game maker says to the game winner at the end of Ready Player One, remember, reality is real. Reality is real. And reality is that we are sick in the brokenness of sin. We cannot heal ourselves, and judgment is coming. Even judgment from the world, we all feel this constant scrutiny, wondering if we measure up. But reality is the word God spoke to his people in Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see you accepting the sacrifice of Christ as sufficient to heal your own sin, I will heal you. Reality is the words of Jesus in John 5:24. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Our invitation is to name that we cannot heal ourselves, protect ourselves, save ourselves, but there is a God who can. And he does that by giving his very life and making all things new by his resurrection. And then we are invited to trust God to keep God's word. There is freedom on the other side of the vulnerability of trusting another. Jesus takes the burden of our brokenness and the punishment for our sin and the earning of our righteousness and gives his life and righteousness to us freely. And you are free to live as his beloved child, not counting on yourself to do what you and I honestly know we can't do. So let us not give in to the noisy, glittery call to save ourselves. Trust in the blood of Jesus for you. There is rest to be enjoyed in relationship and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. God, would you draw us in by your compassion for us and faithfulness to help us. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.